You're tuned to Faith Alive on Midwest Radio with Father Brendan Hoban and Monica Morley.
Now, last Sunday morning here on Faith Alive, you'll remember I was talking to Father Gerry O'Hanlon, who updated us on where the church is now globally after the synod that took place in Rome last year, and indeed what the plans are for the Irish church now going forward. And one of the tasks that he mentioned was that there were now going to be more parish and diocesan gatherings, where again people will be invited to come together, to listen, to share, to express their views and fears and maybe hopes too for the Irish church going forward. But unlike the last time, this time we're going to be using the technique we've heard so much about called conversations in the spirit. It's a way of doing business that Pope Francis is very much in favour of, but which is, I think, very new to all of us. So this morning I'm delighted to be joined by Julianne Moran, who's the General Secretary of the Irish Synodal Process, to maybe help us understand what conversations in the spirit are like and why they're the way forward. So Julianne, you're welcome first of all to us here again on Faith Alive.
Thanks so much for having me again, Monica. It's great to be on and to be able to get an opportunity to share where we're going next with the Irish Synodal Pathway. Great opportunity.
Well, before we get on to that, Julianne, I suppose synodality is the word that will ever be associated with Pope Francis. And this weekend, like last weekend, we're all still a bit anxious about him. What's your own sense of how he's doing now?
Oh, I've been tuning in every chance I get online and otherwise to Vatican News to get an update on where things are at. I don't think we ever got so much information in relation to any pontiff and blood tests and otherwise, but it is encouraging to see that he is sitting out in a chair, reading, has taken some steps and is concerned and praying for everybody else as well. I think we all have a kind of a sense that we know him really well, which is unusual too, to feel such closeness to a Pope. And you're right, yeah, he has become synonymous with synodality. And I don't think I've ever prayed so much for a Pope as I have done for Pope Francis to be able to get well and get back to the work, because he's a phenomenal worker. And please God, he'll make a full recovery.
Well, please God, that's the prayer of everyone, I think, this weekend for Pope Francis. Just going back to the process that he has really made his own, the process of synodality, it's kind of a word we're getting used to. The process we're maybe a little bit more unsure of, Julianne. So this morning I want to look at conversations in the spirit, how we do them and how this process will work at local and parish and diocesan level.
I suppose in its very simple, in its most simplest way, I can say that a conversation in the spirit is a tool that helps us to listen authentically to each other, in order that we can discern what the Holy Spirit is saying to us as the people of God, as church. So the purpose of the conversation in the Spirit is to unify our hearts and our minds to that sense of the Spirit that's in us, so that we hear what God is saying to us. I think sometimes people think that when we talk about unifying our hearts and our minds to hear what God is saying means that everyone needs to have the same opinion. That is not the case. It's a way for us to discover how the Spirit is active in the group when we start to hear things that resonate across the board, or maybe we hear something that isn't resonating but then turns out to be what we might term quite prophetic. You know, it might be a completely different opinion from everybody else, but sometimes that's what a prophet does.
Okay, so in a sense, that's what's hoped will come out of the experience. But can you just maybe take us through how it actually works, the stepping stones to make conversations in the spirit happen?
Okay, so it's very practical as well as very spiritual. So there's three rounds to a conversation in the spirit. You'd normally only have about six people at any round table or in a circle of chairs, you know, knee to knee almost in a conversation. And a way of looking at this is, say you're on a parish pastoral council, you go out and you gather up information of where people are at in their lives or what people would like to see happening in their parish. You come together as a parish pastoral council to have a conversation in the spirit. And the question might be, what is the spirit presenting to us and how are we being called to respond? Something like that is a really good question. So then in the first round, everybody takes some time in silence. So then each person at the table takes turns to share what they believe the spirit is presenting and how they're being called to respond. And when that one person is sharing, everybody else is listening. They're doing nothing else except listening attentively to that one person that's speaking. And then when that person's finished speaking, you take a minute in silence just to reflect and honour that that person has shared very deeply And then each person takes the same turn to do the same thing. And you might be jotting down a few notes or ideas of things that have sparked you as you listened and you paid attention. What was striking you as you heard something? Was there something that excited you or something that maybe caused you desolation? So you're writing down your brief notes. And then in the second round, each person will do the same thing again. But the second time round, they're going to go deeper. And they're going to say this time, what began to emerge for them as they listened to everybody else. So the second round is not about adding to what you said before, or it's not about challenging something you heard from somebody else or bringing up, you know, new ideas. The second time round is about saying, I was affected in this way by what I heard, or I heard so-and-so say something and that really resonated with me, or it sounded like I heard something about truth there. And the same thing happens 3 or 4 minutes per person. And then in the third round is very different. The third round is actually kind of dialogue and a bit of kind of spark around the table to go, in what way was the Holy Spirit moving within our group? What main points do we want to gather together now that we've really felt came strongly for us so that we'll share with the whole gathering? So in the third round, there's none of like taking time to wait and listen to each other. It's kind of a more free sharing. But you do take time then to sort of gather up your notes, decide on the main points that you want to share with the rest of the group. So in a parish pastoral council, you might have 3 tables and they'll do that work separately at each table. And then at the end of the third round, share with the other 2 tables what it was that came up. Then you begin to see the threads of this is really strong here that we weren't expecting. So is that what God is calling the parish pastoral council to do? Or this didn't come up a lot, but it seemed to affect everybody. Is this something that we would call prophetic and that we might actually need to do? And that's how that conversation in the Spirit really gets us in tune with listening to what it is that God wants for us through the Spirit.
Right. It certainly sounds like a good way of doing the business at parish level. The national synod that we're working towards, obviously similar steps are going to be taken at diocesan level. Is that the way it's progressing now?
Yeah, each diocese has a diocesan synodal team and they're now tasked with coming up with a methodology, if you like, for how they're going to hold conversations in the Spirit in their diocese. So it'll just depend, I suppose. Some dioceses will probably not hold them in every parish. They might group parishes together and say, look, we're going to hold a gathering 5 or 6 times across the diocese in different places. And other dioceses might choose to do it. You know, maybe smaller dioceses but fewer parishes might do it in every parish. And some dioceses might send out invitations to those that maybe participated before and hold bigger assemblies, because the methodology allows you to have lots of small tables.
Right.
You could have 200 or 300 people in a room. But if you only have 6 or 7 people at each table, it'll have an authentic listening to it again.
Excuse me. A question I put to Jerry last week, Julianne, which again I'm going to throw to you is, you know, keeping the momentum and the energy and the enthusiasm for this going at parish level is hard work.
Oh, totally. I suppose the key thing here for me would be to say to people, it's not doing the same thing again. Pope Francis always talked about the fundamental practice of see, judge, act. So what I would say is that in the earlier rounds, we were definitely seeing. In the listening, we saw that these were all of the different things that were affecting people's lives or where they saw themselves on their faith journey. So that was the see moment. We're moving into the judging moment of see, judge, act. So discernment, deliberation. Judge well where actions need to be taken so that we can move to the third part of that fundamental journey of faith, from seeing, judging to acting on it. It does require patience, but it's not the same thing that we've done before. This is about revisiting the themes, not asking the same question again. And saying we don't want to move on the journey without you. I mean, this is the other fundamental part now of a synodal church: not about us, without us. It's not appropriate, I don't believe anymore, for us to say, well, we don't need to listen to people again. We heard what they wanted to say and we're going to be the little minority group that picks the priorities. This is a journey that we are all on together, and this is about asking everybody to come with us and say, we all are gifted with the Holy Spirit to discern what it is that God wants us to now work with more deeply out of all of these issues for Ireland, mm-hmm. and which ones are the ones we need to prioritise so that we can put action with those priorities. Mm-hmm. So once we've got those priorities, there's still a lot of work to be done at parish level and at diocesan level and at national level.
Very good. Well, that's the kind of hope we need, and certainly it's the kind of hope that Pope Francis is giving to the church. Well, you're doing a wonderful job, Julianne. I'm no doubt it's not an easy one, but it's certainly one that we're beginning to see the fruits of. I'm just going to vary it a little bit, because I know as well as your work, you're busy with other aspects of life as well. And you have just been in the news because you've received a bronze medal in the whole world of sport. You might just tell us a little bit about it and how you got into it, because it certainly was very new to me.
So I have a fairly peculiar pastime, I think. I'm very much involved in international target rifle and pistol shooting. So in November I travelled to Germany with about 36 other Irish people to Lietmar in Germany to take part in the world championships of gallery rifle shooting, and I came home as a bronze holder in the world championships. I'm a first Irish woman to ever come home with a medal from a world championships in gallery rifle shooting, so I was thrilled to bits. I can't even begin to tell you how overwhelmed and amazed I was by the whole experience. I mean, the experience was just wonderful. I've taken part in a lot of national competitions, and I travelled to Great Britain twice before to take part in international competitions there, and I came home with a gold from there. But this was my first time to try a world championship, so I had no expectation on the world scene of getting anything except the enjoyment of being able to participate. So I was just thrilled to bits to come home with a bronze medal.
Absolutely. Well, I'm delighted for you, Julianne, and delighted to see how diverse your interests in life are. And it's certainly wonderful.
Yeah, that's it. The most amazing thing about it is it's so relaxing. And I know people might say that seems odd, but with the workload and, you know, how busy I'm kept, and I suppose I do take a huge amount of the work that I do, because the work that I do is part of my faith life as well. Obviously, it affects me in a different way. So I do sometimes bring home the stresses of all of that, and on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon I head to the range.
Well, look, at congratulations on that wonderful achievement, Julianne. We wish you well with your
Thank
sporting
you so
career
much.
But also indeed we particularly this morning compliment you on the wonderful work that you're doing for the Irish synodal process, and no doubt we'll be chatting to you again as it progresses. But thank you for being with us this morning here on Faith Alive.
Thank you so much, Monica. God bless.